Pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words, help us to know how to apply them to these days, help us to see the doctrine that's behind many of these psalms, these hymns. Many of these hymns are songs about tragedy and about triumph, and Lord, I do pray you'd help us to praise you through the good and bad times. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Psalms 10. This entire psalm, most of it, is about the Antichrist. That's the doctrinal thrust of this psalm, and there are a few psalms like that where the entire psalm is discussing the Antichrist. Let's see what I have up here in the front. Psalms 10, Psalm 52, 73, and 109. Okay, and then you have other things about the Antichrist dispersed throughout. And remember that the most talked about character in the Bible is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second most talked about character in the Bible is the Antichrist, okay, or the devil himself, you know, the devil incarnate, who is the Antichrist. That is the second most discussed character in the Bible. You have certain characters in the Bible who are types. In type, they portray the Antichrist. Okay, probably the first one in the Bible is Cain. The type of the Antichrist killed Abel. I was just informed today, and I told you a couple of you already, like Mick Donald or Mick somebody, anybody besides the ones I told you, don't cheat. What's MC stand for? Does anybody know that definition? Or the Mac, M-A-C. Look in your dictionary. M-C, if you look in a dictionary, my Oxford, M-C said look to Mac, M-A-C. And the definition for M-A-C is son of. So we have Mick Cain, son of Cain. You know, and then we got Obama, and then Herr Schlickmeister. Okay, and so these things keep popping up all through history. Okay, and the Antichrist, Cain is the first one. Then you have Nimrod. I'll try to run some of them chronologically throughout the Bible. You got Nimrod. Then you have Pharaoh. Okay, Pharaoh at the end of Genesis and at the beginning of Exodus. Then you have, well, backwards, Esau. It's the type of the Antichrist. Ishmael. Okay. Absalom, the son of David. Absalom, Shalom, Alechem. Absalom came in peace. He betrayed David by a kiss. That's all Antichrist information. Who else? We've got several others in there. Haman. Haman with Esther. You have Sisera. Sisera was nailed by a woman. Remember, he got hit in the head. Abimelech, he got hit in the head by... Anybody gets hit in the head as a type of the Antichrist. You know, Goliath, Sisera, Abimelech, Judas Iscariot. Okay, these are types. There's 18 of them. Interesting, you got 18, that's three sixes. So the Antichrist is the second most popular character in the Bible, and he is going to be an imitation Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says in the Bible, be followers of God or of Christ as dear children. Be followers of Christ as dear children. The new Bible has changed that to be imitators of Christ. The perfect imitation of Christ is the Antichrist. I will be like the Most High. So throughout history, you realize that when you have truth, you're going to have a counterfeit truth right beside it or close to it. Now, America is a perfect example of this, where you have Christians who were instrumental in founding this country, but yet you have, as Sneblin showed us, the devil's crowd trying to start the new Atlantis. And this explains why, if you go to government facilities, you'll find some symbols of Christianity and symbols of Satanism side by side. Okay, and so Psalms 10 is going to show some things about the Antichrist. Okay, Psalms 10, verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Okay, Jewish prayer. One of the Jewish evangelists of Psalm, or of Revelation, praying. When you see the term afar off, he's been scattered throughout the world. He's praying to the Lord, and times of trouble is very important. That's known as Jacob's trouble. Okay, we call it also the tribulation or the great tribulation. Jacob's trouble, if you want to see that defined, you have that in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Okay, and of course I've got that for the cross reference. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Times of trouble. You run that throughout the Bible and you're going to see the times of trouble reference to the tribulation time period. Okay, and when he asked this question, the two questions, this whoever this is praying, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The hiding where God hides himself from the Jews in the tribulation has been prophesied on multiple occurrences. The first would be found in Deuteronomy. Okay, in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Okay, Jacob, the remnant, the Jewish remnant, will be saved out of it, but yet many of them will be killed. Okay, that's Jacob's trouble. The tribulation is not ever called the church's trouble. The church has been raptured out. That doesn't mean that the trouble doesn't start before the tribulation. It could. And if you really want to get scared and start reading a bunch of stuff, you will see that we already have military bases ready for inmates, already in place. The wire is not, you know, the barbed wire, the fence pointed out to keep people from getting in. The wire is pointed in. Alaska has a military base that can house 2 million people. They have staff ready to go. All they have to do is start the inmates. Okay, this has been going on for a few years. Okay, is this set up for the tribulation? Well, let's hope so. Okay, but they're already in place. I have talked to a couple truckers who have delivered material to these places. They can only get so close. The one I talked to was a place in Nevada. Okay, and these times of troubles are being planned. Okay, the Illuminati and company, they have underground bases. Of course, the Bible prophesied about this. Not only did the Bible prophesy about this, but a lady back in the 19, I say lady, I use that word loosely, the mistress of Philippe Rothschild, Ayn Rand, wrote a book called Atlas Shrugged. That's the Insider's Bible. She talked in there about trains going to concentration camps. She wrote about underground facilities for the insiders to hide. When the world is in destruction, after the destruction, they will come out of the ground like worms. Well, the Bible talked about this stuff. It doesn't say much, but it does mention it. Okay, and so these times of trouble, the tribulation is clearly the times of trouble for the nation of Israel. It picks up. Remember, this: the tribulation is known as Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation, and the prophetic term is Daniel's 70th week. Okay, and that's something that started in the Old Testament. So that's what it's all about. Okay, so Psalms 10, this is his prayer. Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The word hidest, let's see, you got a letter Q, Deuteronomy 31. Now, when you go to Deuteronomy 31, 17, there's probably multiple references there because that will be the first prophecy, God forewarning the Jews that I am going to hide from you. You will pray, I will not listen. Okay, and the time period will be the tribulation. Deuteronomy 31, verse 17. Now there, The word hide will be about one-third into the verse. And remember that Deuteronomy is what's known as the Mosaic Covenant. Okay, what's another word for covenant? Testament. What is our modern word in vernacular in today's society? It's a contract. God deals by contracts. You and I deal by contracts. Now, the contracts are very subtle, very tricky. Police officers are taught how to ask you certain questions that you give up your rights and you come into a contract. It's a very subtle thing. Okay? He stops you. Do you know how fast you were going? Do you know why I stopped you? Do you know why I stopped you? You answer the question. You have just made an agreement. You have made an admission. Now, you ask that question. Is there anything wrong, officer? You see, you throw it back in their fell, in their ball game. Why? Because he's trying to get you to contract. You have a right to remain silent. Anything that you say will be used against you. He asked you a question immediately after. You think I got to answer the question? He just told you. You have a right to remain silent. I choose to remain silent. But most people watch them on Cops. Duh, 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 duh. They're all making agreements and contracts. Who do they got to complain about? They have made the contract. You see? You're ordered to go to jail. Will you want to go to jail on Friday or next Monday? What do you mean? Well, maybe Monday. You've just made a contract. Most guys are in jail because they made a contract. It's usually called a plea agreement. Okay, but it's a very subtle thing, and God deals this way. Now, this Mosaic Covenant is a contract. A contract has four parts to it, and the Jews heard about this. The thing was presented to them, and God said, if you obey this contract, then I will do such and such. If you don't, then I will do this. Okay, and Deuteronomy 31, verse 17, it says, then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. What day? In that day. Well, the context is disobeying the Lord. And I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. Is that figurative or is that literal? Devoured as in eaten. You can run both ways on that. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say, in that day are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us. Okay, that's basically the end result of the tribulation, is he's going to beat them and beat them and beat them into a corner. He's going to beat them in a pulp until they finally say, uncle, and they come to him. Now, notice in the margins, all the verses about the word hide. You got three in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Matthew, Luke, and I didn't even include the ones in Psalms. You can put Psalms 10, verse 1 right beside that if you want. I have Psalms 14, verse 4 right beside it, handwritten in there. This was prophesied on multiple occasions. Okay, and then you can write in Proverbs chapter 1, where in Proverbs 1 it says, the Lord says, that they are going to cry unto me. Let's look at it. Proverbs 1. I don't want to give you a summary of it. We can look at it. Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Okay, don't make the agreement. Don't consent with them. Don't make a contract with them. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave. Swallow them up, eating them, devouring them, drinking their blood. Okay, as those that go down into the pit. And if you keep coming down, verse 14, cast in thy lot among us. So they got a union where they're agreeing together to kill somebody. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. That's the street preachers. That's God crying out to the Jews, trying to get them right. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. That's at the airports. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as destruction, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. And so forth. Okay? And that's the tribulation time period. Doctrinally, that's what that's aimed at. God is not going to listen to him. You know, I often thought for a long time that, you know, going through the tribulation when the Jews are being punished, God will be weeping about this. No, he's laughing at them. He is deriding them. Why? He has heard that for years. He's had it up to here. He has heard the Jewish people, the rabbis, mock God and his word for over 2,500 years now. And he's had it. He's fed up with them. Okay, and that's not counting the time before Babylon. Okay, and if you get made fun of, you know, you can put up with it for so much, but eventually you're gonna possibly say something. Okay, if you really want to experience, try reffing a basketball game. I mean, you will be constantly derided and derided. Eventually, you may say something you're not supposed to, but eventually you're going to say something. And you see, that's God. God gets fed up with these people. Okay, Psalms 10, verse 2. Okay, verse 1 is a person praying, and then he's making comment about what he's enduring in life under the sun. He said, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them, the wicked, let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Okay, the them would be the workers of iniquity. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Okay, the coveting, that's like, you know, the wicked, the workers of iniquity, most of their affairs will be conducted through a court proceeding. Okay, where you come up with that is Psalm 58 and Psalm 64. Okay, and so what they do is they're going to covet people's property, like Ahab coveted Naboth's vineyard. Remember that in 1 Kings 21? 1 Kings 21 is the classic example of how government confiscates people's property. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. Ahab went home and pouted about it. Jezebel said, aren't you the king? What you crying about? Aren't you the king? I'll get it for you. And so then what she do? She forges his signature. She puts his seal on it. She goes down. Of course, she's got to get God on her side. And she found two false witnesses who said that Naboth, he has blasphemed God and the king. So they get real religious. And then she gets the property. And you see, and then while Ahab gets possession of the property and he's enjoying his covetous lust of the property, here comes Elijah and he lays it down hard on him, on Ahab, for stealing the property. That's a typical example of how somebody lusts after somebody's property. Often attorneys will do this. When they have a bond that comes in, when they got to build a, like a public school, what they're going to do is they're going to put a bond on all the property. That property is bound by that bond. And then they'll travel down through the street, maybe an attorney, and they say, what about this property? Oh, it's got an encumbrance. What about this? Oh, it's got an encumbrance. What about this? Oh, this one's free and clear. We can get that if we need to satisfy that bond. And this is how it's done. Okay? And so they covet, and the Antichrist is going to bless the covetous ones because they're stealing from poor people. Okay? So the poor and needy, verse 2. Verse 3. or verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. He's going to cause the fight. He's going to cause the arguments. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Why? He's got the military backing him. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. That's his pride. That's his arrogance. Now verse 7 is going to show his methods. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief, vanity. Now right there, that word fraud, we could park on that, and if I knew all the law perfectly well, I could probably park on that for about 3 days. The fraud that's involved. In the last days, how do wealthy people get their wealth? Okay, look if you would in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Fraud, and I'll just give you a few examples. Some of you know these examples from sitting in the law class. And what can you do about it? Be quite honest with you, some you can do a little bit, some you can't do a whole lot. James 5, verse 1, go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. Fraud. Their workers are crying. Okay? The big thing of fraud has been going on since the founding of this country. The one that really got it going full force is Abraham Lincoln. Okay? How many of you know that there is a difference between the post office and the postal service? Okay, some of you know there's a difference. The postal service is a corporation. The post office is a constitutional office. I have two Supreme Court cases that says there's a difference. They said the postal service overrided the post office. They can't do that, but they do it, or they claim to do it. It costs, what, is it 41 cents now to send a letter through the Postal Service? You can still send them 2 cents to the post office. And you got to do it a certain way, but, there's little tricks on it, but it can be done. And I have done it on a few occasions. I don't do it a whole lot anymore, but it can be done. Okay, and you've got United States of America. United States of America, constitutional. United States is a corporation. Indiana, Republic of Indiana, Indiana State. That's the fake. That's the counterfeit. You have U.S. Supreme Court. That's a fake. You have the Supreme Court of the United States of America. That's the real. They're all side by side. In every area, you got this. In every single area. I mean, the tangled web they have weaved. You and I are experienced 140 years of this going on since Abraham Lincoln. You look at your title for your car. Look at it. It says certificate of title. Doesn't say title. Certificate of title. That's a color of a banana. That's a picture of a banana. It's the difference between the banana and the picture of the banana. When you buy a brand new car, you get what's called a certificate of origin. That's legal title. When you buy a car from somebody else, from a person, you get a bill of sale. That's legal title. Okay? And if at the BMV, if they put a sign out front and said that you come in and give us your car freely and donate it to us freely, we will allow you to drive on the highway. How many people would do that? But that is what's happening. Okay, driving is different than traveling. If you have a right to travel, you don't have a right to drive. That is under commerce, that is a constitutional thing. Okay, where Congress has a right to regulate commerce. Okay, in every area, Okay, if you ask the average American, are you a U.S. citizen? Most people would say yes. But what is a U.S. citizen? A U.S. citizen, according to the Title 26, is a federal worker, an employee of the federal government. Internal Revenue Service. Internal, it's taxing somebody inside the revenue, the federal. Okay, and that's what that's defined. And you say, what do you do with this stuff? Well, you got to know the law for certain. And you got to study it for about 20 years and then make a decision. I'm serious. I mean, you got to study a long time to decide some of these things. Okay? And in every area, it's like this. Every single area. It's my understanding that there is still a tax on the phone bill that is paying for the Spanish-American War. I thought they would have had that paid for by now. Okay? And you fly overseas, there's a tax on your every ticket that goes to the United Nations. I don't want to give the United Nations a thing, but you can't fly overseas without that happening, thanks to Al Gore. Okay, he was the clown, I think, that got that going. Okay, and what it is, it's fraud. It's fraud. It's fraud. Every bit of it's fraud. Okay, now it's gotten into the Christian realm. A preacher holds up a Bible, or what is purported to be a Bible, an NIV, it's not a Bible. It's a fraud. I went to Grace College for 2 years, and they had advertised in their advertisement that they will teach what the Scriptures are to the students. They will teach what the Scriptures, but then they define the Scriptures to be the original autographs. And so I acted upon that advertisement, thinking that I was going to get the Scriptures taught to me. And I get over there and I find out they don't have the Scriptures. From their own admission. Their own admission is the Scriptures are the original autographs. That's what's inspired of God. But yet then they turn around and tell you that they don't have the original autographs. So how many students could they get to come to Grace College if they honestly said that we will teach our opinion of what we think the Bible would have said or would have meant if we would have had a copy. So the best that we can do is give you our personal preferences and opinions, but we think the Bible should have said or would have said if we would have known that, that's what we're going to teach you. How many students would go then? None. Now that's what they should say if they're honest. But what they do say, we're going to teach the Scriptures to the students. It never dawns on them to ask them, have you ever seen a copy of it? No. That's fraud. That's fraud to every... There's like five ingredients of fraud or elements of fraud, and they meet every one of them. You see? That happens in the Christian world. What goes on in the Christian world goes on in the state. It actually starts in the Christian world before it starts in the state. The pulpit dictates what goes on in politics. And this has been going on for years and years and years in this country. Okay? And so God gives the people the type of leadership they deserve. Okay? And so it's fraud. Verse 7. Deceit and fraud. They are very close words, synonymous words, but there is slight differences between them. Fraud in the pattern jury instructions will have five elements. Okay, and another word that's associated with that, if you would look in Ezekiel 45. Another word that's close to that is a word called exaction. You'll find that in the Bible, exact. E-X-A-C-T, exaction, or a word that you may understand a little bit better, extortion. Okay, remember that Ezekiel 40 to 48 is a doctrinal description of the temple in the millennium. It's when that Jesus Christ is going to rule on earth. Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, much of it's very, very boring material. Okay, it's about building, it's the rebuilding the temple for the millennium. In chapter 45, verse 9, it says, thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord. Ye shall have just balances, and a just ephah, and a just bath. That's for weighing currency. Okay, so what if this is a millennial time period, what happened before the millennium? He said, stop, remove violence and spoil, execute judgments, justice, and then remove your exaction. What's an exaction? I've got it defined in a footnote. An exaction is the wrongful act of an officer or other person in compelling payment of a fee or reward for its services under color of his official authority where no payment is due. It's called color of law. Okay, and if you look in any legal dictionary, look up the word color of, it'd be color of title, color of office, color of law, and all that is, or colored person. Okay, people often think that colored person refers to blacks or Mexican people of color, they say. But where that comes from is the 14th article, the 14th Amendment to the Bill of Rights, where they made an artificial person, a person of color, meaning a person who is under color of law, means it looks like law, but it doesn't have the substance of law. Okay, you have a picture of a banana, or if you have a plastic banana, like some of these fruit you put on your table, and if somebody makes it real good, it looks like a real authentic banana, but it's plastic, it has the appearance of a banana, but it don't taste like one. Okay, that's what color of law is. Color of office, color of title, it's all fake is what it is. It's all fake. It's an NIV. An NIV is a color of Scripture. New American Standard is a color of Scripture. Okay, and so that's what he's talking about, an exaction there. It's when somebody thinks they're to pay a fine when you weren't in commerce. Okay? Or you weren't operating a state-owned vehicle. You see? And this is the fraud involved. But yet, people really can't complain because they often capitulate. They take the agreement. Okay? Forget it. The trick is to keep the fine high enough where they make money, but low enough it doesn't cost them. And the trick is to beat them is to make, if they want a $100 fine out of you, you want it to cost them $200 to get that $100. That's the trick. That's why you extend it in court and fight it and argue it and all this stuff. Okay, and what you're doing is you're extending it out to where, man, I had this person over here, all they'd said was, I'll pay it. Let's go after them next time. It's easier. Okay, it's like if a fly's come around, you get a fly swatter, and they notice that thing. Hey, man, they're going to get out of this situation. Okay, and that's the trick. Okay, and then if you're good enough at it, if you realize that when they, use the radar gun and realize that they have to have a tabulation on the radar gun and every time it's used and they have to have it certified and they've got all these documents, that all these things that they got to follow procedure, and you find out they don't follow procedure, you can get it kicked out every time because they don't follow procedure. Maybe, but if somebody has a bigger gun than you, are you going to bother them? You're going to go after the ones with no gun, right? So nature follows a line of least resistance. And so usually, on occasion, if they get an advantage over one, yeah, they'll try to take advantage of that. But the vast majority of the time, they'll go after the ones with least resistance. Yeah, there's a gentleman in Colorado, he's a rancher, and he's known this for a long time, and I don't know how many times he fought a traffic case, and finally they realized, this guy is bothering us, this guy has cost us more money to get anything out of him, and he was winning case after case after case, kicking it out, and it got to the point where whenever his name came up, when a police officer stopped and saw his name come on the screen, they just say, have a good day. He'd just take off. He'd go wherever he wanted to go. fast as he wanted to go, just as long as he didn't damage anybody's property. And often that is something that might happen. I'm not saying it will happen. Because each case is different. Each person is different. Each judge is different. Each situation is different. Okay, and you fight traffic ticket up in Lake County, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. I sat in there. Brent got stopped one time. A fuse went out on his truck, so he didn't have no taillights. Okay, so fuse went out, no taillights. Police officer stopped, gave him a ticket. We went up Lake County Court. I had a bunch of paperwork, you know, and the judge sat there, are you liable or not liable? Liable or not liable? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I, of course, tried to coach Brent, you know, and he turned around and looked at me, and the judge said, are you liable or not liable? He turned and looked at me, and I said, like that. And he goes, guilty? Like that. And I said, no, like that. But fortunately, before this, I talked to the bailiff, who was a very gracious person, and I told him the situation. And the bailiff interrupted the judge and said, Judge, I think his father would like to say something. Man, you're not going to get that much of anywhere. And so judge said, come on down. So I walked down, told him who I was, and I had all my paperwork ready. And I said, Judge, it was a fuse that was bad in the truck. I went and bought the fuse. I do have the receipt, you know, 60 cents. And he said, if you show that to the state, they'll probably dismiss it. And the state looked at the guy, looked at him. Judge, we moved it. We dismissed the case. The case dismissed. We walked out. That's Lake County. You know, and I sat there and watched how many cases. Judge say liable or not liable. The person say liable. He go, $1 fine plus the court costs. Next one, liable or not liable. Liable, judge, $10 fine plus court costs. The highest fine was $10 that night. The highest fine, plus court costs, which was $83. Okay, and so if you got a $100 ticket, they, you know, $10, $83, you save $7. You know, now if you come down to Jasper County or Newton County, they don't have the business that Gary produces. And so down in the smaller podunk counties, they'll fight tooth and nail and maybe throw you in a pokey, right? If you argue too much. Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah, he took a speeding ticket clear up to a jury trial. Oh well. Traffic is a good place. Usually you don't go to jail for traffic offenses. But it's a good place to practice. You know, you ought to hear Brother Jeremy's case, you know, about Lowell Town Court. I'll do it real quick. 3 tickets, he's terrible, just an unlawful person. Gets a $500 fine in Lowell Town Court. And suspension? Pulled it out. It's not hard to pull it out of a town court because even the rules basically show you the town court's fake. You know, I think they've got 3 pages in the rule book for a town court. So I moved for a trial de novo, pulled it out, went to Lake County Court. How long did it take you? 6 months? 8 months?
To get a new
court date? Yeah.
It was probably 4 months.
4 months.
But it would have taken another year.
About a year. Gets in front of the judge. Judge reads the charges, speeding. Do you understand, Mr. Law? I said, no, I don't understand. I'm sitting in the audience. People say, what an idiot. This guy don't understand. We got to listen to this idiot. Well, you know, I mean, they were griping. No, I don't understand, judge, you know. And so it takes about a year. And what'd you agree with?
I had the charges amended to no possession of a license times 2, simple $50 fine, no points on my license. And I ran a red light.
Speeding. We see the judge walking down the hallway, and he looks at us, and I looked at him and said, we're just giving you some variety. He didn't smile too much. I mean, you got to have a little sense of humor with these guys. You know, but that turned out pretty good. But the Newton County, that's a whole different story. Spent 46 hours in jail. Ain't that right? It's all about
money.
Control and money.
They wanted some money that day, and they wanted me out of the courtroom because they didn't. We had 60 people sitting there to be picked for a jury, and they did not want my case to be brought in front of the
jury.
Well,
that's stupid, yeah. Just that.
Yeah. I thought you was a criminal. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Lake County. Yeah. I mean, you sit in there. If you ought to go in court and just sit and watch. It don't cost you anything. It's rather entertaining.
It'll give you an idea of the fraud that's going on.
If you understand the fraud, it'll get you the idea. Uh-huh.
When I lived in North Carolina, I had this IRS guy hit my car. And they gave me the ticket, even though he hit my car. And I didn't want a ticket. I never had one. So somebody told me, you got to see this lawyer. Money, he'll get it thrown out. He goes, oh yeah, I parked my Ferrari in the judge's parking spot. The courthouse was like across the way from, and I was like, I paid him like $200. It never even went to court. I'm thinking, man, this is so crazy.
Fraud.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's fraud. And so it's just amazing. It's just amazing. So, and you see, it wasn't the offense. I mean, no driver's license. Why'd he pick that? It's a non-moving. Don't raise your insurance. Don't raise your points. John makes double parking. He usually asks for double parking, doesn't he? Yeah, yeah. See, but the only reason they do that is because they know that they know something. He made the prosecutor look like an idiot. And the judge was mad at the prosecutor. That's rare. I mean, he was so mad at the prosecutor for being late, for not knowing what he's talking about, and everything. And so it's just a matter of using the right words at the right time to the right person with the right spirit and seeing if the Lord's going to help you. And so, like I say, traffic is the place you can learn. I used to say you won't go to jail for civil offenses in traffic, but somebody changed that. And what he did is the judge didn't like what he said, and what he said was truthful. And you see, and where's all this stemming back? Psalms 10, verse 7. It's fraud. It's fraud. The United Nations has no right whatsoever to collect taxes from anybody. They have no authority, none whatsoever, from any nation. And what is America gives? Over 50% of the money of the United Nations comes from the United States. And they have no jurisdiction whatsoever. How are they getting it? It's fraud. It's all fraud. Okay, and so verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, all you read down through there, and this is describing things that the Antichrist will do. Okay, I'll give you a quickie. Selective service. 18-year-old supposed to sign up? Do you think so? U.S. citizens are required to. But what's a U.S. citizen? You see, and the thing is, when you get the paper at the 18-year-old kid, sign an affidavit back to him, I am not a U.S. citizen according to your definition. I am a, you know, American male living on the soil, send it back, and that should be the end of it. You see, I served a notice and demand when Brent got his and never signed up for anything. And now I'm going to have to do something with Luke's. You see, and if you read it, it says you may be in violation. It doesn't say you will be in violation. And with Brent's, it was such a, they sent a little card, and there was like seven contradictions in that one little postcard. I mean, just amazing. And so I served a notice and demand back on them saying, you got to straighten all these things out before we give in to anything. And they sent a threatening letter back. Yeah, federal offense, blah, 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 blah. And we ignored them and forget that. Okay. Uh-huh. No, that's for a federal citizen is what that's all for. And so if you just inform them, fill out an affidavit, tell them you're not a federal subject under their subjection, under their jurisdiction, that should be it. But a preacher friend in Michigan, he helped some of his guys do this. You see, where it doesn't say. This is one of the first things I learned when I started studying this stuff many years ago, and that was the one. Because it says you may be in violation. See, that doesn't say you will be. If it's a law, you will be in violation. And so when they throw the may in there and the person thinks they're supposed to when they don't really have to, they have contracted. Now they have a right to be drafted, or lack of right. Okay, and this is the trick. Okay, and this, what it is in our country, you talk to the average American, they think federal government is over the state government. That's what they think. That's not the way it is. The way it is the state government is over the federal governments. And the states, when we had 13 colonies, there were 13 individual sovereign nations. The state government. Then they said, okay, we would like to delegate something to a national government, national defense. That's what we want to delegate that. We want to delegate the post office. We want to delegate commerce, interstate commerce. So when you go commerce, travel from one state to the next, we don't want to have to go through checkpoints between each state. So those are the three, and there's one more. I can't remember the fourth. Those were the three or four delegation where they delegated that to the national or the federal government. That's it. Nothing else is to be delegated to them. And the federal government was limited to 10 square miles, Washington, D.C. That's the 10 square miles. And the only other places now are federal courthouse and forts, military forts. That's federal territory. Where you and I are standing right now, this is the state of Indiana. Okay, and this supersedes all federal. And did you know that our county sheriff, if any federal worker or federal police officer or IRS agent came on Lake County, our county sheriff can say, get out. And they have the right to do that. And there's a man in Wyoming that does do that, one sheriff in Wyoming, and has actually put a couple IRS agents in jail and put them in handcuffs in jail because they did not come to him first. Uh-huh.
Wasn't that illustrated with the Katrina disaster when the state and
yep.
The city mayor would not let FEMA come in?
Yep.
That illustration of that?
Yep.
I mean, it was nationwide. They said they couldn't come in because they didn't let us.
Right. Right. FEMA is federal. And they're below the states in jurisdiction. And so President Eisenhower had a big study on this. Great big study. It's a long page. I've got the documents on this. And that's what they, after their study, they said, yep, the federal territories have a very limited jurisdiction. And unless each state purposely relinquishes their right as a state, unless the state does that, the federal has no authority whatsoever. None whatsoever. And so that's what President Eisenhower, the study group that they had, that's a big long title, I forget. Some of you know what it is. But the thing is this is how everything is being conducted in this country, is through fraud. Through fraud. What do you do about it? Well, live to please the Lord. Ask God to guide you and direct you. Study the best you can. Study the Bible, obviously, first and foremost. And just ask the Lord to open your eyes to things, and don't make an agreement. Don't contract. You know, and it's very subtle. Just, you know, realize don't contract when you cannot, don't want to fulfill the contract. Okay, and so Psalms 10, verse 7, really got sidetracked on that, but yet that's a very practical thing that you and I experience. Okay, and how far do you take it? That's between you and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. Okay, and so we'll stop there. Any questions? Anything else you'd like to add to that?